goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Moyne will try a long hit. What a goal from Moyne. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, fresh on the heels of the wheelhouse. Here we go. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I am excited to get after it tonight. I don't even know if there's enough room on this show for everything that we want to get into. I would tell you right now, if you have something you want to say tonight, first segment's for you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I'd love to hear how you feel the Dynamo did in the MLS Super Draft. I'll tell you my feelings on it. We had the Italian Super Cup drama today. Spanish Super Cup drama. Both go to extra time. Inter Milan and Real Madrid are winners. The AFCON continued. African Cup of Nations. Mali 1, Tunisia 0, Gambia 1, Mauritania 0, Ivory Coast 1, Equatorial Guinea 0 as well. So we got an A-plus guest list here tonight. A-plus. Danish Dynamo, Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture is going to be on later. Christian Ramirez, you remember him from the Houston Dynamo. Left, went to Aberdeen in Scotland. He's currently the number two goal scorer in the Scottish Premier League. He'll be on the show tonight. Really, really good interview. Christian talking about a number of different things, why the move was made, how it was made with the Dynamo. What I will tell you is everything was professionally done, both on the side of the Dynamo and Todd Ramos and Christian Ramirez with the way he handled it. Not all players handle the situation. He was in the same way. John Kerr Jr. is the Duke head coach. Duke's got one of the perennial top programs. He's been there 14 years. Well, he's the coach of Dynamo number 4 pick overall, Generation Adidas striker, Thor Ulfarsson, the Icelandic striker. So you're going to get it from his college coach tonight. Now, this is why Soccer Matters is bringing it to you, okay? By the way, I played professional soccer against John Kerr Jr. I've known him a long time. In fact, and I got to recount this with him when he comes on live tonight, but as a kid, his father was on the New York Cosmos in the very early years before, I think it was before Pelé got here. Yeah, it definitely was. And his father came to our school gym in my town in New Jersey in his Cosmos uniform to do a clinic. Now, that was community outreach. I remember John Kerr Sr. as well, who played for Canada and also did a lot in the Players Union and all kinds of other big achievements. His son's carrying it on. So John Kerr Jr. here tonight. We'll get him talking about Thor Ulfarsson. Also, the Dynamo picking up Paulo Lima of Providence in the 32nd pick overall. Arturo Ordóñez of Pitt. You know, one thing I would say about this threesome from this draft perspective, on paper, this gives us a better feel than it has in recent times. I don't think there's any question. It just seems a better feel. Three international players. That's interesting in itself. Three different lines of the team. So you got a striker, a midfielder, and a defender. They come from very, very good college programs. Jay Vidovich, the coach at Pitt. John Kerr Jr., Providence has an excellent program. You know, there's a lot of good things there when it comes to programs that can develop players for the next level. Now, nothing's a slam dunk. Okay, nothing's a slam dunk. You would have to say, though, with a fourth-round pick, you've got to get somebody that's definitely going to stick. And the good news about Ulfarsson also is he's Generation Adidas, so he won't count against the salary cap. Now, the other big piece that comes into play for these college players is that you have a Houston Dynamo 2. You got the second team finally here. It will be a place where they're on one field and they're looking at the first team on the other and they're going, how do I get over there? They will be monitored. They will be watched by the staff. and this nonsense of having a RGV 3 hours away, which, sorry, it was more than that, right? 5 hours away, Rio Grande Valley, which we had to constantly get sold on, as that's equally as good as having a reserve team under your ability to monitor it, all the other organic things that happen with players interacting and mixing, the academy watching the under-23 team watching the first team, the academy players watching the first team. You know, you're getting it in-house now. All of these things are very important. So I'll give you a really simple example. Okay, if Paulo Lima of Providence and Arturo Ordóñez, as Pat Onstad, made it pretty clear that they were being signed for the under-23 team. Okay. If they were going to be sent to the Rio Grande Valley out of sight, out of mind, think about that as a young college player. Think about that for a minute. And think about, now you're going to still be right here. You're going to get monitored by the first team staff. People are going to see you all the time. And you're not going to be out of sight, out of mind when it comes to the first team coaching staff. It's motivating because every day you know you have an opportunity and eyes on you to do something exceptional. That also is player development. So when somebody tells me your reserve team's 6 hours away, I don't buy it. I call BS. And that also is another reason why the Dynamo haven't moved players through. I'm going to say that. We are still hoping for the news of one Dynamo striker named Sebastian Ferreira from Paraguay. You get the sense that this is going to happen in the near future. It seems to be likely trending towards next week. All the things that I've read, I've also read that some of the assistant coaches are going to be as follows from a source in Denmark. A friend of mine that lives over in Copenhagen, not Jan Christensen either, by the way, but he probably knows about it. Jimmy Nielsen is going to be one of the assistant coaches for Paulo Nagamura and the Houston Dynamo. The White Puma, remember him from playing in goal? So that's an interesting one. He's also coached in the USL Championship. And then the other one that's out there, I think Pablo Mauro of MLS put it out that Zach Thornton will become the goalkeeper coach for Paul Rogers, who has moved on to Cincinnati. So, and I would imagine there's got to be one more assistant coach there. And, you know, you wonder if how much influence Paulo Nagamura has on picking his coaches and how they're doing this because of that word collaboration that we've talked about so much. So interesting stuff there. It's being pieced together. It's all right around the corner. Training is going to start at the end of the month. So there is no time to wait. All right. Had some incredible results in the AFCON. Kai Kamara has been a big part of it with Zimbabwe. With Sierra Leone. Bali today, I said, beat Tunisia. Nigeria had that 1-0 win over Egypt. For me, Nigeria seems to be the team that is looking the best here. Senegal had that late win over Teenage Adebi in Zimbabwe. Let's go to Sadio Mane's game-winning goal in that one if we can, Andrew.
Mane up against Mare. Mane, and it's there, 1-0. Mane seals the victory right at the death.
So Sadio Mane there. It was a struggle against Teenage Adebi and Zimbabwe. Morocco beat Ghana. Boufayal with the goal in that one against the Black Stars. Morocco looks a good team. Here's how it sounded.
Makini, good ball to find Abu Ghlal. Trying to turn Boufal! Sofian! Buffon lets the go-ahead goal for the Atlas Lions.
And then how about Gabon over Comoros? And Comoros is a small island. It's essentially a country. That's why they're in the African Cup of Nations. Aaron Boupenza with the game winner for Gabon.
And there's a chance now. Louis Ochanga to the byline. Oh, wonderful goal from Bupenza. Over heels with delight after that thundering shot into the roof of the net.
So there you had Bupenza. Nigeria 1-0 over Egypt. And how about the former Manchester City striker, Kelechi Iheanacho?
Qui va surtout centrer. Oh, il y avait de l'idée pour essayer de trouver à Wonihi ce ballon qui revient. La frappe! Et le but extraordinaire de Kelechi Iheanacho. Il a fallu cette action incroyable de la part du joueur de Leicester et cette frappe magistrale du pied gauche pour lancer ce match.
Ah, how about that emotion? Mali 1-0 over Tunisia. And there's more in this one, but let's give you the goal call first. Kone.
Ibrahima Kone, left-footed, scores, sending the keeper the wrong way. The Eagle to Mali in front against the Carthage Eagles, thanks to their sharpshooter.
So incredible scenes after that game. Mali beats Tunisia. Tunisia was one of the favorites. The referee in this twice blew the whistle saying the game was over before the actual time of the game was over. So he twice blew for full time, saying the game was over before the end of the match. Tunisia players then would not come back out on the field to play the final minutes. You had like 12 security guys surrounding the referee. Absolutely bizarre. There were still 5 minutes left, so you can understand why people were upset. It was quickly spotted. The players and the coaching staff were all confused. The referee was Johnny Sikazwi of Zambia. He then sent a guy off from Tunisia, and Tunisia was pushing to try and tie things up at the end, but absolutely bizarre scenes. This was kind of like a CONCACAF moment. It's part of the reason why I love AFCON. Honestly, I'm a little over-commercialized by a lot of the European leagues, including the Premier League right now. I need a break from it, honestly. And the African Cup of Nations is the perfect break. Call in 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. All right, let me quickly get to some sound here from Thor Ulfarsson, striker, scored 15 times for Duke this year, one of the tops in the country. Here he is talking about his being ready to compete from day one.
Yeah, of course. I mean, at the end of the day, soccer is soccer and anything can happen. I'm just ready to come in there first day of preseason, put my head down and work as hard as I can. And, the better player is going to play. And, it's hopefully it's me. And, everything will be good. So, you get the work you put in, you get what you put in. So, yeah, at the end of the day, just got to work hard and love the grind.
Well, he's going to be challenged by Sebastian Ferreira once he gets signed from Paraguay, the 23-year-old from Club Libertad. He also played for Morelia, was a Paraguayan youth international, has not been capped by the full team. Let's quickly get George on hold, who wants to talk about Juventus, who today went down in the Italian Super Cup to Inter Milan. George.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
Oh, doing just fine. I was at work watching on Fubo, and I had Barcelona and Real Madrid, then I had Juventus and Inter Milan. Both times when it went to extra time and it reached the end of the program length, it cut both off, so I didn't get to see the ending of either one, which was very frustrating.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard that too. I had it on CBS, so I did see the Alexis Sanchez game winner for Inter Milan.
I just wanted to ask, do you think, what's missing for Juve? Like, I didn't think losing Ronaldo was that big of a deal. Like, I think he was, he had as many, problems as he had solutions, but it's weird. They're just so streaky. Like, the defense isn't as good as it used to be. And, when they're at their best, they're awesome. But, I don't know. I kind of almost hope they'd find a way to sneak like a Coutinho in on the cheap or something. But for the life of me, I can't figure out what it is that they're missing. If you can tell me what you think.
Yeah, first thing is I'm not watching them week in and week out. Certainly they were more defined when Ronaldo was there. It was a deeper defending team. It was a team that had him on the counterattack and others on the counterattack. I think some guys have gotten a little longer in the tooth. Some guys have been moved on. Weston McKennie, I think, had one of the goals today. You know, so I think it's like anything. I mean, they've been so dominant for so long. Things do change. I have to say, though, I haven't watched them week in and week out, so I really, really can't give you the best of answers. But there is no doubt in the last couple of seasons it has changed quite dramatically for them. No question about it. George, thank you for the phone call. Sorry that you did lose the feed to Fubo. I had a bunch of people texting me saying the same thing. Real Madrid 3-2 today over Barcelona. Carlo Ancelotti, they win the Super Cup. And Alexis Sanchez, that's a big one. All right, this is Gary Newman. We are so fragile, but we're not. We're tough. We're going to be tougher. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are our presenting sponsors. You go to 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
How about that from former Houston Dynamo Kai Kamara? Emotional draw against Algeria, the defending AFCON African Cup of Nations champions. I don't know if you watched it, but he was playing as a number 10. He was kind of like a withdrawn forward behind their main striker. At 37 years of age, Kai Kamara debuts in the African Cup of Nations. Pat Onstad said, quote, "We got exactly what we wanted out of this draft. We acquired one of the most talented attackers in the college game in a position of need in the first round. In the second round, we acquired two players who will contribute to and benefit from our aligned pathway." Translate that, aligned pathway is having a reserve team and a first team. Between the first and second teams, I was happy with the selections. So good draft. I got to think on paper, this is very good, good stuff from Pat Onstad and company. And now let's shift our gears here. U.S. men's national team defender Walker Zimmerman as the U.S. preparing for another round of World Cup qualifying.
Walker, thanks very much for joining the show, and we appreciate you coming on. Just how about a couple of insights into how the camp has gone so far under Greg Berhalter?
Well, it's been great. You know, this is always looked at as a time for mainly MLS guys to kind of get on their feet again after a long season. But this one's a little bit different in the sense that we're preparing for qualifiers at the end of it. It's not just a friendly or two friendlies. We got games that are really important and that really matter. And so that's changed a little bit in terms of how the camp is being run.
Talking to Walker Zimmerman, U.S. national team defender, also at Nashville right now. Two straight years now he's been the MLS defender of the year. What's kind of the messaging now based on the fact that these qualifiers are right around the corner?
Well, it's all about preparation. It's making sure, one, I think a priority is fitness. Again, I mentioned, for some guys who maybe weren't involved in the December camp, they've been off for a little bit, maybe a month or so. And for the guys who were involved in that December camp, a couple weeks. And it's just about getting that rust off, making sure guys are in a good spot physically to where they can compete for 90 minutes in high-stakes games.
So your career kind of, to me, has gone a little bit in the blink of an eye, because I remember you being a young guy coming into the league, and now I'm looking, wow, he's 28 now, which I found hard to believe. Things do come fast. FC Dallas, LAFC, Nashville. This is your ticket to get to a World Cup, isn't it?
It is. You know, I think even as a kid, as I started to have success at the youth level, looking into college, you always kind of know when you're supposed to be in your prime. And so for me, this was always, okay, theoretically on paper, this is probably my best chance. So I've had 22 circled in my calendar for a long time. I've known that it's going to take a lot of work to get there. And it's pretty crazy, like you said, in a blink of an eye, that this year, this monumental year is already here.
Somebody had said, hey, guess how old Walker is right now? I would have put you at 25, probably.
I appreciate that.
It just seems like it goes very, very fast. So, look, you're on the national team now. You were in those very important qualifiers. We got that huge win over Mexico. Everybody very excited about that. Two very different games. You played with two different center backs in those games, Miles Robinson and Chris Richards. How big of a challenge is it for you to adapt to playing with a different partner? And does your game get altered being with one or the other a little bit or a little bit differently?
I think there's always subtle differences between center back partners. Obviously, it's pretty well documented the importance of relationships between center back partners, just because there's so much communication that's involved. And being the last line of defense, if you're not on the same page, all of a sudden, okay, now the guy who'd normally be offside is now onside. So now you might lose the game. So there are definitely subtle differences. Both are phenomenal players. Both have had a great past couple of seasons where they've really grown and developed. And thankfully, you know, now having gotten more and more reps with Miles in the past, very comfortable with him. And then that was, you know, Chris and I, we hadn't had many reps together even in training. And so to go on the road, to get a, you know, a shutout there in Jamaica, well, it was a really big step for us. And pleased with how we handled things. That Sorry, not game, a shutout there, but 1-1. In terms of, you know, opportunities and obviously it was a great goal from them. That I wouldn't say we felt like there was much we could do about that one.
You guys defended well. All right. So how difficult was that to come off that high of Mexico, right? Our greatest rival, flip it. You're down in Jamaica, not as big, no crowd, whole different environment. I don't know if you could express to people how difficult that change is because, you know, all of a sudden you get people who are very, very disappointed, you know, oh, we got to tag the Mexico win with a good result in Jamaica, but it is a mental challenge as well, right?
It is. And you know, I think a lot of us haven't had a lot of World Cup qualifying experience. And so we had heard the same thing, like, oh, it's just super difficult to qualify in CONCACAF and going on the road and getting results. And you hear that and you're like, okay, right, like I get it, but like we have a really good team. And then you're in it and the game ends and you might, you know, get a tie or possibly a loss. And you're just thinking like, man, it really is difficult to get results in these games. And so the Jamaica one, you know, obviously they score a goal, you know, top class strike from Antonio. And it kind of took the momentum away from us. You know, we had come out really good in that Jamaica game, scored early. And I think probably in our heads, we're thinking, this is it. Like, this is our chance to win our back-to-back games, really make a move up in the table for the standings there. And, you know, ended up with a draw. But they're just different games. You know, everyone recognizes how important they are. There is a do-or-die kind of mentality in every single game. And you have to have that because at the end of the day, it's more than just you as an individual, you as a team. We're representing the whole country. And, you know, we're trying to inspire them with our performances. And when you don't get results on the road like that, you're responsible and you got to handle, you know, the questions that may come. But at the end of the day, you know, you're focused within the group and you know that you're just kind of on a good pace. You're plugging along, getting to that ultimate goal, which is qualifying for World Cup. So we're pleased with where we are. Sure, we would have had liked to get a couple more results on the road, but, you know, we're in a good spot heading into these last six qualifiers.
Talking to Walker Zimmerman, Nashville defender, also the U.S. men's national team. You used the words do or die. Is that what training's like? I mean, because, look, you're fighting to go to not only help qualify the country, you want to go to the World Cup. It's the pinnacle of the game. Is it do or die in training, and do you feel that with your teammates?
Honestly, it's felt pretty much do or die since my first call-up to the national team. So this is Jan camp number six for me. And the feeling's the same. Every single time I come in, I know that my spot is not given. Nothing has been earned, and things change so quickly from camp to camp, from game to game. And always having yourself ready mentally, physically, to be able to perform is something that, you know, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of concentration, a lot of preparation and off seasons. And it really is a nonstop process, and you can't ever be settled with where you are because, you know, as we see, we have so much young talent coming through and even guys that have had experience who are, you know, are playing well. So the competition is always going to be there, and you just got to make sure that you're never content with where you are.
Do you get that sense? Like I look at this team and I go, and I remember when we didn't qualify for the last World Cup. And then I said to myself, wow, there's a silver lining here because there's all this great young talent. They're starting to get themselves on big clubs. Look at this. It's going to accelerate the process. You guys, as young soccer players, and even the guys even younger than you, I'm talking 6-7 years younger than you, you get the sense that there's a real esprit de corps and there is, hey, this is unprecedented times. We want to do something unique. This is our national team.
Yeah, 100%. I think we've really done a good job in terms of team culture, taking ownership of that transitional period. You know, it's pretty rare to see the turnover that took place after failing to qualify in the last cycle. And, you know, we accept that responsibility. We accept that ownership and have really come together with a lot of guys that have contributed big minutes. And we have a similar belief and a similar vision, and that's to qualify for the World Cup. And if you're all bought in together, you know, it's going to make it much more difficult to stop you.
Is it hard for you guys to keep each other accountable, or is that just something that goes without even questioning?
You know, I think it comes from a lot of the guys who have leadership qualities or have been around a little bit more. You have to have those high demands and you have to have high expectations. And that's not just in the games, that's in training. You mentioned the competitiveness. I mean, that you got a bunch of guys who are highly, highly competitive. They wouldn't have made it to be a professional without that, you know, gene. And so when you get those guys together on a training field, if you lose a small side game, you're pissed the rest of the day. You know, it doesn't just go away. You're fighting every single drill, every single exercise to win. And that's a really important part of our team culture that, you know, we're trying to instill in everyone.
You seem to have the feel that losses hurt. And I'm not just talking with the national team. In Major League Soccer, maybe, where there isn't as much consequence during the middle of the year, June and July, I can see how it would – you got to be strong mentally to keep yourself in it. Is it hard to make sure that these losses hurt at that time of the year in Major League Soccer, you know, based on a playoff system and the way the league is structured?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line there. Between not being too high with the highs or too low with the lows and not, you know, completely beating yourself up over a loss because you don't want that to bleed into, you know, the mentality for the next game or anything like that. But at the same time, if you aren't upset with losing in general, then you might need to kind of recalibrate your brain and figure it out because, you know, we have the greatest job in the world to do something that we love, to play for people, for cities, and have that responsibility and to get paid to do it. If you don't think that that's enough of a motivating factor to go out and want to win every single time you're on the field, then you definitely need to kind of take a step back and figure out, you know, how to change that attitude.
Talking to Walker Zimmerman, MLS Best 11, All-Star, two-time MLS Defender of the Year, U.S. National Team, a huge part of that big victory over Mexico, had an outstanding game in qualifying. U.S. on January 27th, taking on El Salvador, then Canada, then Honduras. Was there a stage, Walker, in your career, once you got into the pros, was there a moment where, a singular moment, it could have been a veteran player, anything that began to help the center back position crystallize to you at the next level, and you began to really understand maybe the position even more coming from the college game?
It's a great question. I think, you know, a big turning point for me was probably the playoffs 2015, that Seattle game in Dallas, where I'd kind of been making a lot of appearances that year, you know, started probably 14 or so games, but appeared in, I don't know, two-thirds of the season, three-fourths of the season, and came off the bench, scored the equalizer against Seattle, scored the PK for the win, and kind of, you know, that moment for me transitioned from being kind of a role player, yeah, we know we can compete at this level, to then going into 2016 as the starter. That was a big switch for me, being able to play every single game, have the repetition, because there was never a question in my mind of, can I compete at this level? It's, you know, I need to get on the field and play in every single game, get minutes, get consistency. And so I think that moment between the 2015 playoffs and start of the 2016 season was probably the pivotal point for me, and kind of started this trajectory.
How much is the center back position changing since even you got into Major League Soccer? Because the demands on a center back are a lot different than the old days.
A lot. They become a lot different. And a lot of that is dictated by the style of play of the team that you're on. So it's been really fun for me, actually, to be on three teams with three very unique styles of play. And it's kind of helped make me a more well-rounded defender, having to defend in different ways, read the game in different ways. Because, you know, you see pictures all the time in trainings and games, and to have those from different formations, different teams, it just adds to your arsenal that, you know, then when you're going up against an opponent, it's something that you've seen before. And, you know, it certainly challenged me along the way being in different systems, but, you know, I've also been fortunate with the coaches I played under. I've learned a lot from every single one, three of the best in MLS for sure, between Oscar and Bob and now Gary. And then not to mention the national team coaches with Bruce and Greg. So, you know, really good coaches that have helped me grow my game along the way, helped me understand a lot more from a tactical side of things. And that's been a real fun part of this journey for me is seeing the growth, feeling the growth, feeling the game slow down every single year and become easier year over year, even with the influx of more attacking talent in MLS. So that's a good thing to know that you're, you know, it's becoming easier for you despite having more talent coming into the league.
Greg Berhalter, as your coach, was a center back. Does he ever, you know, does he ever impart a singular tip on you or maybe walk into the dressing room? You know, hey, think about considering this, or does that ever happen?
Yeah, I think Greg is certainly very in tune with his center backs. There's a lot of communication there in training, a lot of focus on that position in training. And why not? When you are a specialist in something, you know, you need to impart all the knowledge that you've learned. And so I'm sure if I become a coach one day, I'll do the same thing with center backs. You know, you know the position better than any other on the field. And so we certainly have lots of dialogue, lots of information being thrown at us on a regular basis in training, and you know, whether it's half times, mid game adjustments. I think there's very good dialogue between Greg and his center backs.
Walker, before we let you go, what do you do to get away from the game? Because you can't necessarily be in a drive all the time. What do you do to relax, get away from the game? Do you completely get your mind away from the game?
You know, that's it's interesting that I came to a realization a few years ago that now is just not really the time to relax. Kind of on a full sprint until this career is over, and don't want to have any regrets in terms of taking time off. And sure, I'll try and get away and relax, but I don't know that there will be that true relaxation until it's all over for me. So even when you go on vacation, you're still working out, you're still going to the gym early, and then you can relax by the pool. But there's always something that's keeping you from fully relaxing, and that's part of the journey. It's fun, and again, I don't want to have any regrets at the end of this. So just hopefully you can keep it going for a lot longer.
That's a great answer, and you know what? There's plenty of time for fly fishing and reading War and Peace when the career's over, right?
That's right. That's right. There's always the championship tour in golf, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Walker, thank you so much for coming on the program. We appreciate it very much. Best of luck against El Salvador, Canada, and Honduras in the upcoming qualifiers. And again, been a pleasure watching you play the center back position. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
A big thanks to Walker Zimmerman of the U.S. Men's National Team, and also a big thank you to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've bought from Advantage numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. I drive a 5 Series. Absolutely love it. And, well, after all, it is the ultimate driving machine. Advantage BMW, they'll cover you in Midtown with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get yourself in a 3, a 5, a 7 Series. Get into an X3. Get into an X5 if you want an SUV. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Talk to Justin. Talk to Steven. Get that hometown advantage. That's why I shop Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, it feels great. Especially hearing from Pat and Paolo, just the trust they have in me, and they believe I can do things straight away on the pitch. That's absolutely fantastic to hear. And yeah, I'm just going to put my head down, work, love the grind. And then, you know, if I play, I'll play. If I don't, I don't. I'll work hard no matter what.
He went fourth overall in the MLS Super Draft. Thor Ulfarsson out of Duke University, the Blue Devils, traditionally a tremendous program. Their head coach has been there for 14 straight years. Also was a professional soccer player. We'll get in a little bit to that as well. But he is John Kerr Jr. He joins us now. John, thank you so much for coming on the show, and it was great to catch up with you today. I've been watching from afar all the accomplishments and things you've been doing in the coaching world.
Thanks, Glenn. It's great to hear your voice as well. And it's been a while since we chatted, but always a good time when we do.
Yeah, it's a long time away from the Washington Stars days, that's for sure.
No one knows who that team was or what league it was in.
Yeah, no. That's you know, before we get into Thor, I just want to really quickly, you know, as I'm looking, you know, at your history, and I remember your father, and your father, John Kerr Sr., came into our gym in New Jersey. I never forget it, through Tom McDonald from Kearney, New Jersey, and he came in with his Cosmo, if I remember it correctly, his Cosmo uniform on, and he was doing a clinic in a gym on a basketball court, and I never forget the impression that made. And then I look at your career and all the different places you've been, and the first thing I say to myself, this isn't in pursuit of financial gain. This is obviously because you so much love the game, and that must have been passed on by your father.
No question. Labor of love from my father in so many ways. And I've been in those gyms with him doing clinics and demonstrations for so many youth soccer associations and young kids around the United States, which was, I felt at the time as a, you know, 12-year-old, a bit of a drag. But as we all grow up and understand what the moments meant to bring the game to where it is now, and those formative years when the American public didn't really know much about soccer, it gave our beautiful game a start and a look, and, you know, increased the level of interest among the kids and even the grown-ups.
Yeah, no question. Well put, well said. By the way, John started in the early years of MLS. He did play for the Dallas Burn and New England Revolution. But let's get to this draft choice. John's also become a very successful coach with Duke the last 14 years. So let's talk about Thor Ulfarsson, your Icelandic striker, obviously one of the best in the college game. Why don't we just give you a minute or two here to just kind of talk about him from the perspective of his college coach.
Yeah, it was an interesting recruiting process because COVID was in play, and I didn't personally get to see him live, but surely looked at tons and hours of tape of him playing in Iceland at different clubs. And one of the things that really impressed me about him was not his ability to score spectacular goals, but his ability to get inside the box and finish the tap-ins and understanding timing and spacing and his way around the box was supreme. And his finishing touch, left foot, right foot, head, is probably the best kid I've ever worked with in college at that level. So the Dynamo are getting a great striker, someone that's definitely going to score goals. He might need a little time to adjust to that humidity that you have at Houston, but I'm certain that he will do a great job for the club and score goals.
Transition-wise, what do you think's going to be the bigger challenges for him?
Just the speed of play. I mean, he comes from a pretty elite team in Iceland, and it took him a little bit of time to adjust to our level. He came last January, so just about this time, and a year ago, and took a little time to get used to even the athletic type of play that we have in the United States in the college area. So I think it'll just take a few weeks to understand what's expected of him, but he understands the game and timing and getting in around areas where he can finish, and it won't take him long to adjust to his teammates. And he's a very confident young man, and for a good reason, not overconfident, and in somewhat ways a little bit cocky, but most strikers worth their salt are a little bit cocky. And so I feel that that's one of the reasons Pat Onstad really took a liking to him, because as a striker, you need to believe in yourself, and at times you're going to miss the target, but the ones that really do well are the ones that get over it quickly and move on to the next chance. And that's Thor, for sure.
We're talking to John Kerr Jr., head coach at Duke University. We're talking about the new Dynamo draft choice, Thor Ulfarsson. How about combination play? Is hold-up play, is that a strength of his back to goal?
Yeah, certainly. He's tall and slender, but he's strong. And he can hold the ball up, include, you know, bringing his teammates into play. He can combine in and around a box. We scored a couple of good goals against Wake Forest like that, where he combined with two other players. And, you know, he knows what he's doing. And that's the thing that is hard to teach in that offensive area is timing and when to show, when to take the guy to the back post, when to come near post and get across your defender at the very last second to get your last touch on the ball. And he knows all that. We certainly helped him with his timing and, you know, with a lot of repetition. We do a lot of finishing in our training sessions at Duke. In fact, we start every session with a finishing exercise. So he got lots of reps, in which allowed him to become more and more confident in going into games. You know, personally, I was pretty certain that he would definitely create two or three chances for himself, and in more occasions than not, he would find the back of the net. And one of the things that people don't know about last season is Thor had COVID, and he missed the first four games of the season. So, in essence, he scored those 15 goals in 16 games. So, that's a good ratio, and I know the Dynamo fans will be very happy about that.
John, take us behind the scenes a little bit. I mean, how much contact did you have with the Dynamo? When did you know of their interest in him? I'm sure a ton of MLS teams had a lot of interest in your striker.
Yeah, I'm good friends with Pat Onstad, the new GM there. And, you know, I spoke to him during the season briefly about a couple of our players. And, you know, he called me right before the draft just to kind of get some last-minute input. And I think one of my assistants talked to someone from the coaching staff at Houston. So, you know, they are very enlightened in terms of what they were looking for. And someone like Thor is something that they've been missing. And I feel, as is Pat, that Thor will come in and hit the ground running and challenge for some time in that offensive end for the Dynamo.
John Kerr Jr., head coach at Duke University, also 16 caps for the United States, played in a number of different countries, including Northern Ireland with Linfield, played at Millwall, played in the early years of Major League Soccer. John, you mentioned he can create his own chance. That's kind of music to people's ears. You know, talk about that facet of his game.
You know, he's both-footed, which is, you know, rare for strikers to be both-footed and equally strong. So you're usually stronger in one foot than the other. But Thor can strike the ball with both feet, and he understands that sometimes you can't get a full swing at the ball. So he's adept at toe-balling the ball if necessary. He's adept at curling the ball to the back post. And what he does in his spare time before practice is he hits a lot of free kicks. So if you look at one of our games against Wake Forest, he was practicing free kicks before the game, and then he mimicked the exact free kick that he took before the game during the regular part of the game. And I think it opened the scoring for us against Wake Forest in the semifinal of the ACC tournament, or maybe the quarterfinal. So he's a guy that loves to train. He loves to be on the field early. He'll be the last one to leave. I mean, he spends hours and hours working on his game, and he, again, he works with his head, both feet. I mean, he's just a complete striker. So I feel that he's going to do a great job.
John Kerr Jr., head coach of Duke. Last one before we let you go. Are you excited that his opportunity is coming in a place where maybe the direct line to actually playing and getting a lot of minutes in year one is an opportunity for him with the transition of a new general manager, a new coach, and a technical director? Because sometimes it's where you get positioned in the club you go to that also can help to jumpstart your pro career.
Yeah, I know the research that he's done, and he's told me that he's very excited about the opportunity because they were looking for more goal production. And again, that's what he does. I mean, he can bring people into the play. He can create his own shot, and he can, you know, lay the ball off for his teammates. But he's in there, and he knows it to finish off chances. And again, he'll score some spectacular goals from distance. He'll curl in balls from different angles, and he'll place balls in from 6 yards out. So, you know, that's really something that I feel that the modern-day striker is sometimes missing. And, you know, he's kind of old school in that respect, that he can strike balls with both feet and finish off chances from any angle.
John, thank you so much for coming on. It was wonderful catching up with you today. Continued success with a great coaching career post a very, very good and great playing career. Thank you so much for coming on. Tremendous insight.
Anytime, Glenn, and I hope I can get out there this summer to see you guys and see Thor scoring goals for the Dynamo.
Well, if you get out here, you better make sure you contact me, okay? We'll go out and get some good we'll take you to a good Houston restaurant. John, thank you so
Sounds
much.
Sounds great. All right, Glenn. All right. Thanks. See ya.
John Kerr Jr., and that's some tremendous insight there. Now, that's the best insight we're going to get right now, because that's from a man who's in and around him all the time and has been working with him. So for me, that's some of the best stuff we've gotten on him, because you got it from his head coach there. So you got out of that good in combination, can create his own chance, two-footed, in some ways a little bit cocky, John said, in a healthy way. So a lot there. That's exciting. And this is Dan's little sister. There's a few people dancing about this signing. Long way to go, though. And again, I am just absolutely stoked that the reserve team, the under-23 team, is going to be here. Position of technical director has been created. Some very positive things. Long way to go, there's no question. I think everybody involved knows that in a lot of facets of the business. But some real positives that we haven't had in a long time. Long, long time. All right, big shout out here to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there, talk to Steven, talk to Justin. Get yourself in a sedan, get yourself in an SUV. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll take you through the whole process. Sales, service, finance, the whole package. It's fantastic. It's Advantage BMW Midtown, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. Danish Dynamite coming up. An update on Christian Eriksen. Is he coming back to play?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.